My name's Ann Wood, and I'm an alcoholic. Is that good? And I know how to follow direction today, too. I want to tell you that we just got into the airport at 1:30 today. We got over here, and in an hour, it's my turn, so here we are. I want to thank the committee very much for inviting me here. It's a true privilege to be here and to be with you. It feels good. God, I just, you know, when someone speaks from the heart, it you can feel it, and it's different, and that was good, and I appreciate you, and I thank you. I also want to thank my baby. One of my babies came, and her husband, and I always like it when my babies are around, because the bottom line is, when the people that I sponsor are around me, they make me act better than I am. They do. I appreciate that, too. Also, there's one more thing before I get started that I just want to say about two people that are in this room that I met that first came from Texas to came to the Monday Night Big Book where I got sober. I had been sober for a while, and this couple came in, and they're in this room today, and they have more time than me, and when they go to a convention, they show up. They show up at all the meetings, and they sit there, and they've never gotten too big, and I appreciate you guys very much. I appreciate that you guys are here and in this room, and you're an example to me that no matter what you do, you come to a convention and you show up at all the meetings and you sit in your seat and you don't just do your little bit and bail, and I love that. Thank you. Anyway, I want you to know that I'm a car painter and a bedwetter, that my home group is the Bellflower Big Book Group, that my sobriety date is May 18th, 1981, that I have a sponsor. Her name is Millie G. She comes from the Pacific Group. And I want you to know that I gave it everything that I had, every single solitary thing that I had, every bit of personal dignity, every bit of kindness, all the things that I was taught as a small child, one chunk at a time, I gave it away. My mom and dad were really good people. I like to talk about my dad. He's talked about in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He's what you call a heavy drinker. They describe him perfectly. And he used to say things to me like, Ann, you just muster it up. You remember who you came from. You remember who you are. You just pull it together and you just don't drink. Wow. I pulled it together and I remembered who I was and I had to have a drink. It's just the way that it was. He was a fine little guy and he did drink a lot. But they talk about him in the book, and I don't understand those people, but there are those people out there. He was a crazy little guy. He was a little Portuguese man from Tulare, California. He was in a little gang many, many years ago, and they were out drinking one night in the bar, and one of his buddies got his finger cut off.
Wow.
Now, if you've never been in a room of drunk Portuguese people, you've really never lived, because what happens is we're like Italians and we move our arms around a lot. You know, you're just moving around like they're very emotional and you're moving your arms around. But the language is, see, you got to get a lot of spit in your mouth. So you and you know, and that's just part of the language. And what is happening is out there is these Portuguese guys, and they're drunker than skunks, and there's about 20 of them, and they're just rowdy and emotional. And this doctor says to this little woman who is 21 years old from Kansas, you need to go out there and tell those guys they need to be quiet. They're just too rowdy out there and making too much noise. Can you imagine how much she wanted to do that? Oh, my God. Here's this little girl, and she goes out there, and she says, you guys are too rowdy, and you're too loud, and you guys need to be quiet out here. This is a hospital. This little man spun around, and he looked at that woman, and he said, I'm going to marry you someday. And he did. That was my mom and dad. See, now my dad, his drinking caused problems in their little marriage, and he quit.
Wow.
In the book, it talks about people like my dad. It talks about people who are heavy drinkers. They fall in love. A doctor has something so profound happens, has an impact on their lives, and those people can quit. I do not understand them. I know that my father didn't love my brother and my mom and my than me anymore than I loved this 8-year-old little girl that I had when I got here. But when I have to have a drink, I have to have a drink. At the end of my drinking, there is no more option. You don't get up in the morning and say, I'm having a cup of coffee or I'm going to have a drink. I'm drinking. Because what I used to do is I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, oh, I'm not going to drink today. I am not going to drink today. And within 5 minutes, you're having a drink. Not because you want to have a drink, but because you have to have a drink. You have to have a drink to be able to work. You have to have a drink to go to the market. You have to have a drink to be able to breathe in and out. There is no option. And what you do is when you promise yourself that, it takes a chunk of you. It takes a chunk of your spirit, and it takes a chunk of your soul, and it's just one chunk, one chunk, one chunk. And when you get to Alcoholics Anonymous, you're very sure if someone takes the top of your head off, it's black in there. There's nothing left. My little girl was... She had nowhere to go. She's the little kid that's at 8 years old at 3 o'clock in the morning, her mama sliding down the hall crying, drunk. And she's the one that gets up in the morning, she pats me on the back and she puts me back to bed and she says, Mama, everything's going to be okay. Because of women in Alcoholics Anonymous and a program called Alcoholics Anonymous and sobriety and people who have loved me enough to tell me the truth on a continual basis, even if you've hurt my feelings, I was able to let that girl be the little girl that she needed to be. She didn't have to be the mother anymore. And because of women in Alcoholics Anonymous teaching me how to be a mom, because I did not know how, she got to be the child and take her place as a little girl. And I got to have the privilege of being her mom. I also got the privilege of just last week, she has 6 years of sobriety in this program, and I'm blessed to have her back. She was a good little girl, and you know, I was, she has forgiven me. Because of this program, she has forgiven me, and I am so blessed. Anyway, talking about my mom and dad, because I like to do that. My mom and dad did everything they could. I have a brother who's 2 years older than I am. He never acted like me. He never drank like me, never acted like me, just wasn't like me. He was very kind. He was very honest. He was just a good, kind guy. He still is. He's an architect. He lives over there in Coronado Island with his lovely little wife. They're just so weird. They have a glass of wine and sip it. It's sickening. Anyway, when we were little kids, part of being in this family is we went to this church. Now, you know these feelings inside of me, they can't be my fault. They got to be your fault or her fault or their fault or his fault or somebody else's fault. I can't be this weird all by myself. Maybe it was that stupid church, you know what I mean? In an inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous, I found out that I have a disease of twisted perception. It was never that church. It was never them. It was never you. It is me. It always comes back to me, no matter what it is. Twisted perception, I thought it was that church. Part of being in this church, see, is that you got to go line up on the wall 5 o'clock at night on a Friday or Saturday at noon. You line up on the wall and you go into this little bitty room and you tell this guy that you don't even know what you've done. At 8 years old, I knew that was a bad idea. I'd get behind my brother and I'd watch him and see, my brother's not like me. He has no conflict with that. My brother's never had any conflict with following the rules. He just goes there and he does what he's supposed to do. He didn't have to read a book. He just does the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I just love him. Anyway, he'd go in that little bitty room and he'd do what he's supposed to do in there. And he'd go up and get in the front of that church. He'd get on his knees, say his prayer. I'd go in that little bitty room. It's very, very dark in there. If you've never been in one of those little bitty rooms, it's very, very dark in there. And there's a little window. And it slides open. Wow. Now I'm very, very little and I'm very, very afraid. So what I do is I just lied. I made up stuff. How bad can you be when you're 8? But you know, I couldn't help it. I just made up stuff. It was none of that guy's business. I have had an attitude about me all my life. It's none of your business. It's none of your business then. It was none of your business in Alcoholics Anonymous when I was newly sober. It's none of your business sometime today. Do you know what I mean? Dang. It was none of that guy's business, so I would make up stuff. The guy had never been married before. What do you know about life? I'm not telling him. When you're 8 years old and you got an attitude like that and you put some booze behind it, it can cause you grief. It really can. Angry. I've always been angry. I've always been afraid. Afraid. I've always been afraid. People have always scared me. I've always been afraid. So what I learned when I was a little bitty kid is you put a smile on your face and you're fine. How are you, Ann? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. I'm just fine. Everything's fine. None of your business either. Fine. People leave you alone when you're fine. You don't create any problems. There are no problems. You're just fine. It's good. That's where I want you. I want you right out there. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. I don't want you to get inside of me. I don't want you to know how I feel. I'm fine. Thanks. Fine. Always been fine. Like being fine. Don't want you in there. Don't want you to know. And afraid that you're not going to like me. Always. Anyway, when I found in my inventory that if you keep a person like me afraid for a long enough period of time, I become angry. And if you keep me angry for a not long enough period of time, you see, I'm enraged. And if you keep me enraged for a long enough period of time, you put a drink in me, I just do crazy and bizarre things. But I'll never let you know that I'm angry because I'm always fine and I'm always smiling and you never know how mad I am until I paint your car. I was going with a Norwalk sheriff. The fool had hurt my feelings. Not just a little bit. He hurt my feelings badly. I'm laying on the couch. I'm drinking. Thought occurs to me, you know, I ought to paint his car. I don't know why. I drive over to a store called National Lumber. It was a little town called Bellflower. They had National Lumbers then. Drove over there and got myself 3 quarts of candy apple paint, screwdriver, plastic bag. Drive over to the Norwalk Sheriff Station parking lot. Out of the peripheral vision, I can see black and whites going in and out and in and out. I don't care. When I get that far gone, I got that much booze in me. See, I don't care. I just get crystal clear. I'm on a mission. Do you know what I mean? You take that plastic bag and you walk in there, find that green cougar. He loved that green cougar. He loved rub on that little green cougar. You know, he loved that car. Take your screwdriver out, start in the front. Pop that first lid, throw it on the front, second lid, throw it on the top, third lid, throw it on the trunk. Watch this red paint drip off this green cougar for a few seconds. Now I'm drunk, but I'm not stupid. I didn't stay there very long, but I did enjoy that red paint. Got the lids, got the cans, got the screwdriver, put them back in the plastic bag. Don't want to leave your fingerprints. It is a police station, you know what I mean. Are we so weird? Get that plastic bag and walk out of there like I owned that joint. And I don't care if you catch me. When you get that far gone, see, I don't care. It don't matter if you catch me. I'll pay the price. I don't care. I just got to do it. It don't matter. I got a rage inside of me that I can't even tell you. And I'm always fine because it's none of your business. And I won't let anybody in. And I've had men in my life who have loved me. And they say, I love you, Ann. And I go, what do you want? The hole inside of me is so big that there isn't a human being alive that can fill that hole. I tell them exactly what you should say. The poor guy's going, exactly what I tell him to say. Well, that ain't it. I had to tell you, you idiot. It's never enough. The hole is so big inside of me that nothing is ever enough. I want a big house, big car, big diamonds. I have a hole inside of me that is so painful that the only thing that fills that hole, see, is a drink. I got this rage that I don't know what to do with, and I'm always fine. Now, I don't want you to think my drinking was always bad. 1979, disco dancing. Oh, my God. If you missed it, too bad. We were so very cool. Wore these very, very little short skirts. You have these big platform shoes. I don't know if you guys ever remember these big platform shoes. Really, really. And they have glitter glued all the way around the bottom. Do you know what I mean? Because when you go into that bar, there's a big ball in the bars and it had mirrors glued to it. And there's that ball starts spinning around and you're dancing, you know. And that light hits down there, reflects on the glitter on my shoes. I'm looking good. Do you know what I mean? Now you have 4 or 5 drinks before you go to a bar. It's very scary to go to a bar sober. You can't go to a bar sober, you know what I mean? I mean, you got to have a few drinks. You got to get fired up. You got to get your clothes on. You got to get your makeup just right. You got to get your hair just right. You got to get fired up. Can't go into a bar sober. It's very, very scary. You have 4 or 5 drinks before you go. You have 4 or 5 more after you get there. 5 or 6 maybe. Maybe more. Just depends. Here she comes. Oh, jeez. Do you know who she is? Can you just shut up? Can you just shut up and dance? Can you just shut up and have a good time? Can you just shut up and dance? No, I can't. There's this rage inside of me, and I don't know what drink it's going to be, but here it's going to come. I'm going to just be I am. It's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. It didn't used to happen when I first started drinking. It started happening later in my drinking. Why? Why can't you just dance and have a good time, man? I don't know. Here she comes. I got volatile rage, and I stand toe-to-toe to the biggest idiot in there and say something stupid to him like, go ahead and hit me, I dare you. Oh, and they do. Now you have blood coming out of both your eyebrows, you see, because when I get that far gone, you got to pop me twice. Pop, pop, you got to lay me out, kind of just, because when I'm coming at you, it's just over because I'm crazy. And when I make the, when I start to heading at you, I'm going to go. And I'm going to take it all the way to the, until you just flat knock me out. So there I am laying on the floor of Basin Street in Lakewood. It's behind Sears. I'm laying on the floor and I have blood coming out of both of my eyebrows. And I'm going, why do you act like that? Why do you talk like that? What is the matter with you? Why are you so angry? You weren't raised like that. Why do you have to act like that? What I learned from that is there's bad people in the bars. They're getting rough out there. You better start drinking at home. That was it. That's what I learned. Alcoholism is isolation, a desperation, and a loneliness. If you understand it in here this afternoon, you do. And if you don't, I can't explain it to you. It comes from way down deep inside. It's a lonely. It's a loss. It's a darkness. It's a frightening place. Alcoholism. Took everything out of me that I ever had, every bit of goodness that I ever wanted to be, every dream that I ever thought, and it just takes it away. I am tied to drinking. I cannot stop. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I have to have a drink. If you're not going to drink, I'm not going to go. If there isn't going to be something there for me, I'm not doing it. It totally controls your entire soul, everything about you. And if people ask you too many questions, you just cut them out of your life because it's none of their business either. And I'm fine. Thanks. Smiling. This little girl is, she's 8 years old and I go to the market. It's very close to the end of my drinking. It's one of those nights that you've overshot the mark the night before. You know what I mean? You got a half a glass of wine. Cigarette butt in it. You run around the house looking for a drink. I gotta have something. I can't go to the market without something. I can't do anything without something. There's gotta be some booze around here. I gotta have a drink. I cannot breathe. There isn't anything. It's all gone. You've been a pig one more time. And there's nothing left. Half a glass of wine, cigarette butt in it. You walk up to that, take that cigarette butt, flick that baby out of there and drink that half a glass of wine because it's my wine and my cigarette butt and I need a drink. And I'm so grateful that at this kind of conference that nobody went, ew. Jesus, I wonder about people in Alcoholics Anonymous that go, ew. Like if you haven't drank a little bit of tobacco, like what's with you? When I need a drink, I need a drink. There is no option. I need a drink. I don't care. I need a drink. You leave that kid in the garage. There's 5 Mormon kids that live across the street. I hated them. And now if you're a Mormon, don't come running up to me because I don't care. It's long over. They love me. I hated their mother too. The reason that I hated them and I found out in my inventory is these are perfect little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, perfect little Mormon children. Lovely little children, very well behaved. I leave them in the garage with my daughter who's lip-syncing to Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. She's running the whole show. I have no idea where she got that from. And there's these little kids watching her. She's singing away, and out I go. I found in an inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous that the reason that I hated those kids, see, is that every Sunday morning, I'm sitting in my couch looking out there waiting. I know somebody's going to call and tell me. I can't remember what I did, but I have pending doom, and I know that it was ugly, and I know I was bad, and I can't remember what it is. But I know somebody's going to tell me, or it's going to flash in there, and I'm going to remember it, and I know it's bad, and I don't want to remember it, but I know I did it, and I can feel it. I just can't remember exactly what it was. And I'm looking out this window, and out comes these 5 little kids. And they're all clean, and they're all nice, and they look like they've had breakfast, and they get in this dumb old brown station wagon. Out come that lady She's in a nice dress. She walks out there and I'm watching her and I'm looking behind my curtain. And she's in a nice dress and she gets in her little station wagon. That woman has fed all five of those kids. She has clean clothes on all five of those kids. They're all corralled. They're in the car. And out he comes, the husband, and he's in a suit. And they drive off and go to their church. Oh, I have to hate you. All I've ever wanted to be is a good mom and a good wife, and I don't know how to get there. So I learned in my own way, in my own soul, that if you have what I want and I don't know how to get it, I just have to hate your guts. It's the only thing that makes it okay for me is, see, I just have to hate you. I have to make you wrong. I hated her. When I got sober, I was able to talk to her, and I told her what an impact her family had on me and how much I wanted to be just like her. And she looked at me and laughed and said, "Oh, my God, Ann, I've always envied you. You look like you've been having so much fun." What a blessed thing for me to be here. I did not get here because I drank a little bit of wine and spit up. I gave it everything. Everything that you don't talk to from the podium, but on a one-on-one, I'm willing to tell you anything. This is a general description of what I was like, and what I was like was desperate and afraid. I'm the one that you go to the store and I need a drink real bad. That half a glass of wine isn't going to get it. So what you do is you go over to the market and you buy to Lucky's. They had Lucky's then. You line the whole bottom of your cart with your Gallo's Pink Chablis, because I'm a fine connoisseur of wine, and Lucky's brand vodka. Now, I'm not telling you buy any of those little bitty bottles. I just do not understand people that buy those little bitty bottles. Instead of dog ear, dog leg, some little bitty bottle. Why? I want big. I want a big bottle. I don't want to be running out. I want the whole bottom of that cart lined. If I want a little bitty bottle, I'll pour it in a little bitty bottle, but I'm not buying one of those stupid little bottles. I just think that's just too weird. Why? Here I am, and so I've got this whole bottom of the cart lined, seeing it gives me courage. And then I run around and I buy stuff, makes me look like a good mom. Like I buy fruit and I buy vegetables and I buy bread and I buy eggs and I buy meat, like I'm gonna cook. Then you run back over to the liquor section, you get yourself two Mai Tais in a can. Oh my God, was that ever so cool. Mai Tais in a can, 7 different kinds of rum. Black stuff kind of floated on the top. Don't ask me why, but somebody said that lit on fire. I had to try it. Poof, mine did too. Don't stir it. Don't shake it. I like that brown stuff on this top. Because what it does is that you take it and you take a swallow and it kind of makes your head go, whoop, I love that. Anyway, you run around and you get that and you get you're sweating like a pig now. I don't know if you guys understand this, but you're sweating like a pig and your hands are shaking and you're up at the check stand. Oh, man, that lady's going to know. I don't want that lady to know. So you get to that check stand and, you know, and you make sure she puts those two cans in a brown paper bag. I don't care if she puts the rest of the stuff in plastic, but I want those two cans in a brown paper bag. And I'll be dinking around looking in that plastic bag for my two cans. I need a drink. She puts them in a brown bag. You open up the car. You find the brown paper bag. You open up the car and you just get in your car. Leave the groceries out in there. Who cares? Leave them out there. They're just sitting out there in the sun. I don't care. Pop that first lid. Here it comes. If you understand this, you've earned your seat. You pop this lid and here it comes and you fire that baby down. Oh, goes down inside of me. And it just goes, Jesus. Something will do that for me. It's hard for me to give it up. I'm going to be able to keep my skin on. I'm going to be able to keep breathing. I'm going to be able to get these groceries out of the cart. I'm going to be able to drive home. Fire down that second can. Here it comes again. God. I can do it now. Muster up all your energy and drive home. Here's this kid with these Mormon kids in the garage. Everybody wants to keep me happy, so they're helping me. This kid drops the bag's got my wine, and splatters all over the garage floor, and a sick mind like mine says she did that on purpose. See, so I got to grab her and get her on the floor and start choking her in front of those Mormon kids because my head told me she did that on purpose. So now you're down on the garage floor with your kid, and these little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids are just like, and the thing that makes me let that kid go, see, is if one of them drops anymore, I'm just going to blow up right in front of them. So I let her go, and I just run around, and I grab a bag and just run into the house, and you don't use the glass, and you fire that vodka down again and again and again until the feeling comes. And your head goes, phew, well, I probably ought to go out there and say something to them kids. But if I do, then I got to look at the way I drink, and I'm not quite ready yet to look at the way I drink, so I do what I've done all my life. Put a smile on my face and start talking real fast. Come on, you guys. We got these groceries. I got cookies, got some ice cream in here. You can just get them in the house, and you start winding them up, and you start kind of maneuvering them around, and everybody, you know, and you kind of calm down, and everybody, and your kid looks at you and goes, she's going to be okay now. And in the house we go, and nobody says nothing. You live like that day after day after day after day after day. I have a hymn. He was a brown paper bagger. I know there's brown paper baggers in Vegas. Nobody wants to admit it, but I know you guys are out there. It's two people that are sort of married, sort of. You know, you're like sort of married. And you drink never in the same bar. Very dangerous to drink in the same bar. He drinks in his bar, you drink in yours. You get home first. Oh, I don't like that. That means he's out having more fun than me. So what you do is you get a brown paper bag, throw some of his clothes in him, and put him on the porch. He drives by, sees a brown paper bag, grabs a bag, gets the heck out of there because it's very dangerous to come in my house when the brown paper bag is on the porch. China hutches fall over in the middle of the night. People get hit over the head with hammers because we're having fun. Just for clarity, he was the China hutch man. I was the hammer person. Seemed like such a good idea. Do you know the blood spurts out? Because we were having fun. Alcoholism is isolation, desperation, and loneliness. It is. Right before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had two girlfriends left that at least come to my home. They brought their boyfriends over. He was in and out mode, brown paper bagging it. And I'm mixing them drinks, and there's music on, and they're getting tipsy and dancing. And I'm struggling in my own kitchen behind a brown paper bag, trying to pour vodka in this little bitty hole of a Diet Coke can, because I don't want them to know. I'm in my own house. I can get as drunk as I want to. I don't have to drive. I can slide down the hall. I don't want them to know. Something wrong with the way you drink, Ann. Talks about it in the big book. It's just our little brain opens up for a few seconds. Wow, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong with the way you drink. When I tell you that I'm a car painter and a bedwetter, see, I'm one of those drunks that drinks so much I can't wake myself up. You wet the bed, you wet the car, it doesn't matter. Wet the couch. It's how I live. Try to blame it on somebody, you're the only one in the bed. It's difficult. Alcoholism. There was a woman at the TikTok down the street from the beauty shop where I work. That's what I really do for a living. So I cut people's hair. 2:30 in the afternoon, the booze that I had drank that morning was worn off. My hands are shaking. I'm sweating like a pig. Do you know that people don't want you to cut their hair when you look like that? So what you do is you run down to the little TikTok and you buy yourself your Gallows pink Chablis and you say something stupid with your head down because, you know, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we have to explain why we're doing. Well, the working women will be coming in soon, but we don't make eye contact. The working women will be coming in soon, so I'm going to be able to give them a drink. They don't care. Do you know they don't care why we're buying that booze at 2:30 in the afternoon? But I got to tell her why. It's for those working women, you know. Here I am, you know, and I got my head down. I got my change in the bag. I'm watching the bag. She's putting on my wine in the bag, and I need that real bad. And every once in a while, I'd hear Alcoholics Anonymous. I looked up. Did she say that? She didn't look like she said that, so I put my head back down. I did this woman's hair. She never one time said, Ann, you drink too much. She was a very good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd have my head down, Alcoholics Anonymous. I looked up again. Did she say that? Doesn't look like she said it. I'd put my head back down. This went on and on and on. One day she says, I got this tape. I want you to come out to my car, listen to my tape. Oh, do you know what I wanted to tell her? It was 2:30 in the afternoon. I had a drink since 9:30 in the morning. But because I'm me, I said, okay, fine. Okay, fine. She pops in this tape. Very old voice. Very old voice. Man had an impact on me. I don't know why. Very old voice. He said Alcoholics Anonymous. Made me know that lady had something to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. And he had this laugh. It was a high-pitched, tee-hee, little laugh. Grabbed me. His name was Chuck C. If you ever have a chance to buy one of his tapes. He touched me. I don't want to tell you that he was my buddy. I'm not going to tell you that he was my friend. I'm not going to tell you that I went to his house. I'm going to tell you that I was sober for a long enough period of time that the man was sober. And before he died, I got to listen to him many, many times. And it was a true privilege to be able to be in a room with a man like him, with a man like Norm Alpe, like women like Alabama, with people that had impacts on me, that touched my soul so that I could be able to stay, that gave me hope on a continual basis that a crazy person like me has a chance, that a person with a volatile rage that just does not know what to do with themselves, that knows they're going to explode from the inside out, has an opportunity to stay sober in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, that we don't have to choke our children anymore, that we don't have to wet the bed, that we don't have to drive our cars and keep one hand over your eye and still see double. And when I'd be driving down 91 freeway, say, Bloomfield, 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 Bloomfield. Jesus, wow. So you close one eye, you got it down to two. It just says, Bloomfield, Bloomfield. You're better. I never killed my kid. I never hit anybody. Thank God. In Alcoholics Anonymous, I have learned not to have any kind of an attitude about anybody that gets up to this podium. Because by the grace of God, it could have been me on a continual basis. Anything that has ever happened to anybody in this room could have happened to me. I'm so truly blessed. I called this woman, Marion. I said, Marion, I think I drank too much. Oh, my God, do you know how happy we get? Are we sickening? Oh, woo-hoo! You could see her. I could see her face on the other side of that phone. Oh, wow. Honey, I've been waiting for you for such a long time. She was so happy. It was just... Do you think you can not drink for half an hour? Oh, my God. Half an hour is no time at all if you're smart enough to have a drink. If you call them before you have a drink, a half an hour is forever. Oh, my God. If you're going to call those people, you need a drink first. You can't do that. They actually ask you, can you not drink for a half an hour? Oh, I need a drink. Best thing I could say to that woman is, Marion, I'll try really hard. I'll try. Half an hour later, she calls me back. We're going to a meeting in Bellflower. Bellflower, oh my God, that's where I work. Don't you worry, it'll be all right. We're going to the woman's club. The woman's club, oh my God, somebody's going to see me. She goes, oh no, it'll be okay. Said, I want you to get there early. It's a real busy meeting. It's a real big meeting. It's very busy. There's a lot going on there. I want you to get there early. If I'd known where I was going, I wouldn't have gone there. As much as Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me in my life, if I had known, I wouldn't have gone. Halfway up the stairs, you got teeth, all teeth. Everybody's very, very clean, got all teeth. Everybody's smiling. Hi, I'm Fred. Hi, I'm Mary. Hi, I'm Sue. Hi, I'm Carol. Everybody's smiling, all teeth, all clean. Sickening. It was absolutely sickening is what it was. I had not had a drink all day long, all these grinning people. See, but then that thing in me kicks in. You know that thing, that pride and arrogance and ego, that thing that's inside of me that says, you will never see me cry. You will never see me run. It kicked in, thank God. And I just shook your hand back, and I said, hi, amen. And I walked in there like I owned that joint. And that woman come rushing up to me, and she said, I have a seat for you. My little brain went, well, of course you would. Like, why wouldn't you? I'm coming. You know how us newcomers are. It's very hard to get a seat in my home group. It's a very busy, very big meeting. It's a privilege to have a seat there. I didn't know that. Well, my little brain's gone, oh, why would she even tell me that? Of course she's got a seat. Second section, second row, third seat in. That was my seat. Every Monday night, 24 years later, I look in that seat. I want to know who's sitting in that seat. You can get sober in that seat. It's my seat. We've moved, but I counted the rows. Moved in, three. Know who's sitting in my seat every Monday night to this very day. I got up and I said, my name's Ann and I'm an alcoholic. And I sat down and started crying. When you drink with, like I do, and with the people that I drank with, you do not cry and you do not show them, not ever. You do not ever, ever cry. It is dangerous to cry. It is dangerous to show any emotion. It is dangerous to do. You just don't cry. And for some reason, I just sat down in that seat and I started crying. Oh, my God. I know this is going to make some of you guys sick. And I don't want you to, please don't think that this story has to be yours. Please don't think that just because I was so glad to be somewhere. I was so grateful. I was so, so done. I believe that Alcoholics Anonymous works really good when you're desperate, when you're really desperate, when you don't have one more good idea, when you don't have one more person that'll help you, when one more person that you can shuck and jive, one more person that you can get money out of, one more person that you can con, when you have nothing, when you're desperate to be sober. This program worked. I was desperate to be sober. I did everything they told me to do. I went to every meeting. I never left a meeting without knowing where I was going the next night because I knew I'd get drunk. I couldn't go one night without going to a meeting. I know I'm going to drink. You cannot leave me alone. I'll drink. I would. Every night I knew where I was going. Every night I knew what was going to happen. I knew who I was going to be with, and I didn't have a drink. And I would go to those meetings, and I'd go to their potlucks, and I'd go to their breakfasts, and I would go, and I'd take my little girl, and we began to get better. And the women teach me how to be a mom, and we were getting better. Wow. At 4 years of sobriety, the brown paper bad guy calls. He got sober, too. I didn't like him drunk. Didn't like him sober. Doesn't make him a bad guy. Doesn't make me a bad person, either. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. Cruise. Want to go on a cruise, Ann? Free. Oh, I like free. I was 4 years sober. My daughter's 13. Opened a beauty salon in sobriety. At 9 months of sobriety, I'm painting brown dryer chairs black to go with the decor. And not one single one of you ever said, you know, you might not have enough sobriety to be opening up a business. Oh, you crazy people were so nuts. You said, oh, God, can we help? Everybody was over there helping me paint and just doing. It was like a circus. We were just having so. I was 9 months sober. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you do the things you're supposed to do. You have a sponsor. You have a dream. You take some actions. And it can happen. The name of this beauty shop is just for you because my sponsor told me you can't get sober for your mom or your dad or your husband or your kids, and it's just for you. 24 years later, I pull into the parking lot and look at that sign. Those customers think it's just for them. I know. I have a coffee pot in there, one of them old little brown, you know, metal coffee pots with a little black lid. One time when I was getting really, because, I mean, it's a rocket. The little shop was a rocket. It's always been a rocket. It's because I worked the first tradition on what's best for the whole and leave it alone. Don't overthink it. Just leave it alone. What's best for the whole, Ann? Do that. Stay out of it. Do my customers, mind my own business, show common courtesy. Thought I was getting to be a big dog one of those times, you know, about 8 years sober, and I bought one of them bun burners, you know, and them things. Instantaneous coffee, you know. Oh, I had to get rid of that thing. If I don't remember from whence I came, if I don't remember you, if you're not in the focus of my mind, if I think that I ever do anything in my life without the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, see, I'm dead. Because then I'll think I don't have to go to these meetings. I had to go get my little coffee pot back with a little black lever and hit that thing just like I do at a meeting to keep me focused, to let me know from whence I came. Because I don't ever want to leave you. Not ever. Anyway, this guy, this man, my ex-husband called and said, you want to go on a cruise? Mm-hmm. Free. If I've got 4 years of sobriety, never been on a cruise, free cruise. First night was really good. We had a good time. The rest of the cruise sucked, but I mean, that's how we work. 2.5 months later, I have this fast-growing tumor in my belly. I don't like him. He doesn't like me. This tumor is named Matthew. So what do? We go and we have amniocentesis, and we talk to our daughter, who's now 13. What are we going to do, Lori? She said, well, we're going to keep him, Mom. She's going to Alateen. We're just, life is good. Shop's good. Life's good. I tell you this not because it's been 20 years. My son is 20 years old. He'll be 21 next month. I am very comfortable with my boy. He's the best thing that has ever happened to me. But I want you to know, if there's one of you sitting in this room, that you can live through the biggest tragedy that you've ever dreamed. That sitting in this room, the biggest impact on your life, that you think life on life's terms isn't going to happen to you. Oh, it can. This kid comes out mentally and physically retarded. I hate your guts. I thought that God had sucked me in. In a sick, twisted perception in my mind, it seemed to me that God had brought me to you, that he talked to me about a God of my own understanding, that I began to trust him, and then he slapped me. I was so angry. How are you, Ann? Fine. How's your baby? Fine. How's your shop? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. How's your husband? Fine. None of your damn business. Fine. Smile. I'm not going to tell you. A whole year goes by. I can't tell you. I can't tell my sponsor. I can't tell my sponsor that I hate you, that I hate God, that I hate people that get up at the podium and say, and a loving God that we found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, I could hurt you. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to be her best baby. I have 5 years of sobriety. I didn't want to act like I didn't know. I didn't want to act like I hated God. I didn't want to act like... See, I wanted to be her best baby. I turned her into my mom. I wanted her to love me. I didn't want her to think that I didn't know that I didn't have it under control. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, more afraid than I ever was before. And I got this hole raging in my middle of my gut, 5 years sober, and I can't tell anybody. And I go to a meeting. The hole in the ground in Huntington Park, one of the oldest meetings, at Christmas time 1 year later. And there was a man, and I don't care what you think. There was a man there that when I walked out of that meeting, he said, Ann, if you don't find one person in here you can trust and a few friends to share your life with, you're going to die. I'm going to every potluck. I'm going to everything. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. But I'm not going to tell you. Because it's none of your business. Because I'll tell you almost everything, but there's a part of me that I have to keep for me. I'm not going to tell you how I really feel. I'm not going to tell you that I'm afraid. I'm not going to tell you what I really think. I'm not going to tell you that I hate your guts. I'm not going to tell you that I hate God. And when he told me that I better find a few friends that I could share my life and one person that I trusted, the hole went away just like that. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. I asked him to sponsor me. He sponsored me for the last 20 years. I have a woman sponsor today because I need her. But he sponsored me for a good 20 years, and he saved my life on a continual basis. Because he scared me enough that I just did what he said. I didn't go, and yeah, but I'm desperate to be sober. This little voice turned out to be the miracle of my life. He truly has. He's the kid that's in the mall that you see the woman walking in the mall and the mom is smiling and the kid is definitely handicapped. And you're looking at that woman and you're going, Jesus, I'm glad that ain't me. That's me. And I'm smiling. And the reason that I'm smiling is, see, I know the secret. There is a secret. We learn it in here. The secret to life is unconditional love. He loves me. I didn't know that. I've loved people before. I love you, but I want. I love you, but I need. I'd love you more. If you give me, fix me, buy me, and I want it right now. I want a big house, big car, big diamonds. I want it all. I want to know what kind of shoes you got on. I want to know how much money you got in the bank. I want to know what kind of a car you drive. I want to know what you do. That's who I am. This little boy taught me that it's in here. He just loves me. He loves me in the morning when I'm butt ugly. He loves me in the morning. He loves me in the afternoon. Every time he sees my face, he smiles. He loves me. I don't have to do anything. You know? Nothing. He taught me unconditional love. That's the way I live. He loves me. I love him. I love him. I love you. I love you. I can love me. I hear people get up to this podium and they say they come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and love themselves. Good for you. I didn't come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and begin to love myself. I didn't even like me for a long time. He loves me. I love him. I love him. I love you. I love you. I can begin to love me. That's how it works for me. I'm going along and Jesus, cool. I'm going along and I'm beginning to understand what a miracle this kid is. And they tell me my mom has cancer of the pancreas. See, I don't tell you guys this stuff because that was a long time ago too. And my mom's gone and I have no guilt. But I want you to know that if you're in the thing that I used to call the wave, I'd run into that meeting and I just, God, I feel like I'm swimming as fast as I can, boss. As fast as I can. I feel like I'm going to drown. He said, oh, no, you won't. He said, you stay right in the middle here. You just stay right in the middle here. And he said, you're having a bad day and I'll hold you up. And I'm having a bad day and you'll hold me up. He said, you just picture this, Ann. We're just bobbing on the wave. Bobbing on the wave. If you ever been to the Monday Night Big Book and you see my old sponsor sitting like this, bobbing on the wave, and he's got somebody else, and then all of his babies, because by God, none of his babies are going to get left out, because whatever he's doing it with one of the babies, they're all going to get up and do it. Pretty soon I'm looking around, and all these idiots are bobbing on the waves. They don't even know why. We're just bobbing on the waves. He said, nobody drowns in Alcoholics Anonymous, except the ones who swim away. You stay close. We'll hold each other up. We'll bob on the waves, and everything will be good, and we'll be all right. I go and I take my mom and I'm pounding on the steering wheel and I'm cussing at God. Why me? Why my mom? Did you notice that I said, why me first? Why me? Why my mom? Why is this happening to me and to her? Me first. And I get there because you people have taught me when you say you're going to show up, show up. If you say you're going to be there, be there. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. Show up. I said I'd take her to her cancer treatments and I did. And one day I got there and I'm on the porch with her and she's very thin, very sick. She put her arms around me and she started to cry. And she said, I'm not afraid when you're here. Oh man, thank you. If I never got anything else out of Alcoholics Anonymous, the finest woman who was ever in my life, if I could give her peace and she wasn't afraid while I was there, I never drove down to San Marcos, pounding on the steering wheel, cussing at God again. It was a true privilege to take that woman to her treatments. And when she died, see, I have no guilt. I was a good daughter. She loved me, and I loved her, and I have no guilt. It was a blessing. My dad's in what they thought was advanced stages of Alzheimer's. Take him to a rest home close to the beauty shop. I'm going every day, every day, every day. My sponsor says, Ann, you can't go every day. You got to go every other day. I'm going to wash his clothes. Wash his clothes, honey. I don't care. I go every other day, and I go to these meetings. He said, you can't cut down on your meetings. You can't keep showing your kid your love. You can't not take care of those people that work for you at that beauty shop. You have to stay. Every other day, it'll be fine. Okay. I go every other day, and one night I get there, and my dad's tied down. People that have Alzheimer's are tied down because they think they're choking. They rip their clothes off, and they got to get up. He's tied down. And he's covered in stool. Here comes that rage. That's my dad. I don't want to see him like that. I'm buzzing on that buzzer. I want somebody to come and help me. Nobody comes. Those women are all busy. Those nurses are all busy. They're taking care of somebody else. They've already taken care of my dad, and there he is. What have you taught me to do? The next indicated thing. I hear you always when I'm in trouble. What do you do, Ann? You do the next indicated thing. You get him up. You wash him off. You put clean pajamas on him. You take him strawberry Twinkies. You sing him an old song called Room Full of Roses, and you turn on Vin Scully. And you drive to the meeting like a maniac, and you see your sponsor's face way over in the corner. Don't talk to nobody. You beeline right over there at his face, and you get right up in his face, and you say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay. I just washed poop off my dad, and there's people in here talking about flat tires and broken fingernails. I'm going to kill somebody. He said, no, you won't. You go get yourself a cup of coffee and sit in your seat. I don't want to sit in my seat. Somebody will talk to me. He said, oh, no, they won't. I'm sitting in my seat and I'm sipping the cup of coffee. And they talk about a music of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's here. It's in this room. It's in my Monday night Big Book meeting. It is. It's in every meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that I go to. It's a high-pitched sound for me. It feels good and it feels alive, and I'm sitting there and I'm sipping that cup of coffee because I know that I got to do what I'm told to do because my brain says that you ought to rip her throat out. So I'm sitting in that seat and I'm sipping that cup of coffee. And here it comes. My crazy brain says to me, Ann, the world is going to roll around. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God came down and said, Ann. But my brain, it came into my head. And it said, Ann, the world is going to roll around. You're turning the barrel right now. You're going to just stay here and you're not going to leave. And the world's going to turn and you're going to get out of the barrel. And it won't be your turn in that barrel anymore. And I'm here to tell you that if you're in the barrel, you stay in these meetings and you just don't leave. And you hold on tight. And you bob on the waves. And pretty soon you'll be out of the barrel. You will. And pretty soon you get out of the barrel. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these women. And they're laughing and giggling. And I'm listening to these guys. And they all got deep voices. And they're laughing and giggling. Everybody's talking. Nobody's listening. Do you know what I mean? And I know that if I just stay, it's going to be okay. And I stayed and it's okay. My dad died and I have no guilt. Wow. I stand here with no guilt in my heart today. I stand here a very good mom. I stand here a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I stand here with 8 years of sobriety, not willing to sponsor. I'm 24, but it took me 8 years to do all 12 steps. I did 11 of them really, really good. 8 years of sobriety, I'm not sponsoring anybody. Hole comes back. Says 12 steps, Ann. At 8 years of sobriety, I got this raging hole. Here it comes again. Oh, made big mistake. Go up to your sponsor and say something stupid to him. Like, I kind of got this little twangy feeling. I got this little hole in my stomach. I know it's not feeling too good. Who are you sponsoring? Oh, well, hey, look, I'm way too busy. I have my mom. I have my dad. I'm running this business. I got this kid. I mean, there's no possible. Let somebody else who has less, you know, let them do it. Let somebody who's not as busy as me. He said, the next maniac that walks in this room is yours. I'm not kidding you. She was 6 foot tall, wore spiked heels, had bleached blonde hair, whacked off at the top. Her name was Psycho. Crazy Kathy, that's what we called her. Psycho when we... Oh, she was too. I loved that woman. I loved that one. I loved her because she made me act better than I am on a continual basis. I loved her because when the phone would ring, I'd go, ah, oh, jeez, it's her again. Hello. What's up? My sponsor has told me, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart. There's a big old long saying, but I'm not bright enough to remember it, so I've cut it down just for me. And it says, when you empty yourself of self, you are automatically full of God. And when I'm thinking about you and not thinking about me, my life is really good. I sponsor numerous people today. And I sponsored two men, too, and I don't care what you think about that either. Neither one of those guys could stay sober. For 5 years, I sponsored them, and then they got well enough that they could take it when a man said something crummy to them that hurt their feelings because they didn't have any feelings to be hurt anymore because us girls beat the far out of them by telling them, sit down and shut up, Quentin. And he did. But he could take it from us girls, and he couldn't take it from the guys, and he got well enough. And both of them, and I've asked for his permission to say his name from the podium. And he's good, and he's got 10 years of sobriety, and I cry every time he takes a birthday cake, because for the last 5 years, he has one of the men in our group who is our sponsor. And both of them are well and good, and I'm so blessed that I had the privilege to sponsor them for the 5 years. It doesn't matter. Just stay. It doesn't matter. Don't go. Just don't go. No matter what is happening in your life, no matter how isolated you feel, you got to find some person that you can trust. Tell them everything. I told that man everything. I tell my sponsor today everything. I tell her all the nitpicky, twiny, just crummy, slime stuff that comes in my head. I'm having a great day. Sunshine and birds are singing. Pew! Here comes something weird. Whoa. I can handle one or two. Pew! Here comes another one. Whoa, that's really weird. It's floating around in there. Here comes another one. Phew, I got to call my sponsor. Wow, I'm thinking weird stuff. It's okay, baby. Or they give you direction. And you follow that direction and your life gets better. I live in paradise at home. Because it's where I'm supposed to be. With the people who love me. There is no one in my life, in my home, that is in my home who doesn't want to be there. What a feeling that is for a woman like me. I had people in my life because I had to, because I needed them, because I was desperate, because I needed what they have. It's not that way today. The people that are in my life want to be with me, and the people that are in my life, I want to be with them because of a program called Alcoholics Anonymous and a loving God that has come and touched me, because of a little boy that I'm not ashamed of who has everything that is good, because of two parents that have died and I have lived sober, because of women that I sponsor that make me act better than I am, because of groups and people like you who have taught me to live with dignity. Thank you.